Welcome to the Moral Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the top of Daf Mem Hei. On the side of Gemara under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written that this is a hemshech, a continuation of the topic we were discussing before, Oid Be'inyan Eved Ve'Oved Kechovim Habo Abbas Yisrael Uma Din Havlad. We continue with the topic of a slave or a Gentile that has intimacy with a Jewish woman. What is the din, the status of the child? The Gemara. Rabbi Acho Sar Habira V'Rav Tanchum Brei D'Rabbi Chia Ish Kfar Akoi. There are two rabbis here. One, his name is Rav Acho, and part of his title is Sar Habira, and Rav Tanchum from the village of Akko. Poroik Hano Shuvuyaisa. Prok is they redeemed captive women. The Osu Me Armoin L'Tveria. These captive women had come from a place called Armon to Tveria. Havechado de Abro Me Oved Kechovim. One of them was impregnated by a Gentile. The Osu L'Kamei de Rabbi Ami. Now we have a new marking scheme, the trapezoid or volcano shape, and it's featured on the side under the Mivneh, where we've noted Havlotas Shitois Litzorach Ma'akav. We're highlighting different opinions in order to be able to keep track of the give and take or the back and forth opinions in the Gemara. So this involves Rabbi Ami. The case came in front of Rabbi Ami concerning a Jewish woman who had been impregnated by a Gentile man. Omar Lahu, and Rabbi Ami said, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, three great luminaries, the Amri, that they rule. A Gentile or a slave that has intimacy and impregnates a Jewish woman, the offspring is illegitimate, a mamzer. And as we've said in the past, a mamzer is, though considered Jewish, nevertheless he has extreme marital restrictions. He cannot marry someone from the rank and file of the Jewish people. He can marry a mamzeres. In other words, two mamzerim can marry one another, and there are other details to that, but what we want to emphasize now is simply that though the child is Jewish, as the mother is Jewish, however, the offspring is illegitimate. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, upon hearing this ruling, says, Rabuso Lemechshiv Gabri, is it such an accomplishment to rule based on a list of names? If you're basing your ruling on lists of names, I'll give you a counter list, as you'll see now, and a few lines later you'll notice we've dashed underline Havlad Kosher. So this is a counterweight, if you will, in terms of legal decision making. So Rav Yosef says, if you're into lemechshav gabri, is to enumerate men in terms of listing luminaries, ha Rav Shmuel beBavel, you have two great Babylonian scholars, Rav and Shmuel, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Ubar Kapora beEretz Yisrael, and you have these two more luminaries in the land of Israel, v'Amri lo Chulufi Bar Kapora v'Aili Ziknei Dorom, and another version has, take out Bar Kapora and in his stead put in the sages of the south, the Ziknei Dorom, that they represent the opinion that was said by Bar Kapora instead of Bar Kapora, Ziknei Dorom, but the Amri, they proclaim Oved Kechovim V'Eved Habo'al Bas Yisrael, a slave or a Gentile that has relations and impregnates a Jewish woman, Havlat Kosher. The child assumes the mother's identity exclusively, just like she was a regular Jewish woman, a kosher Jewish woman, so too the Vlad is kosher, like the mother. Elo Omar Rav Yosef. We have a little note on the side. There's a star where Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Hi, Rabbi Yosef Omer le Rabbi Ami. We're reading the note on the side. Rabbi Yosef is saying to Rabbi Ami, De'im atoroitze livsol es avlad, beglash shloisha rabbonim elu omru. If your intention is to render the child illegitimate because you have the three rabbis that said what they did, that Akum Vevrabo Abbas Yisrael Vlad Mamzer, Lomitne Kach Poiskim Hochi, not because you have a list of rabbis that you say thusly, Elomishum Shezed Dino Shel Rebbe, Halocha Kamoiso. Rather, it's because Rebbe rules thusly, and Rebbe is a final word in legal decision making. So Rav Yosef is going along the same lines as Rav Ami, as you can see from the house marking, assuming the same shape, the trapezoid shape, assuming the same direction as that of Rav Ami before, but for a different reason. So Rav Elo Omar Rav Yosef, Rebbe Hi. The ruling that the Vlad is Mamzer is because that's Shitas Rebbe. And we have another marking here, Rav Dimi and Rovin appear in bow ties. You'll see Rovin is in the wide lines, about the seventh wide line later on. And we'll connect these two markings later with the stars that appear at the side of the Gemara text as well. So in the meantime, Dechiosa Rav Dimi, Omer of Yitzhak Bar Avu Dimi, Mishum Rabbeinu Omru. In the name of Rabbeinu, it was said that, and note that Rabbeinu is a reference to Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. As Rashi points out, so they said in the name of Rabbeinu, which is Rebbe, Ovid Kechavim ve'Eved Haboa Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer, a Gentile or slave that has intimacy and impregnates a Jewish woman, the offspring is illegitimate. We have a bracketed section. In order to appreciate this, take a look at the note on the side where the double star appears. Hesber HaSograyim, the explanation of this bracketed section, it's quite a long bracketed section. You note that with your bracket length indicator. And we've written, Afalpi Derbi Shuben Levi, Have Retzef Dvorim, Ukemo Shisimanu Es Dvorov, number 2. Even though what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says is an extensive comment, Mikomokom Rotsinu Laharos Derech HaSograyim Retzef Acher. With the bracketed section, we want to show you another continuum, Vainu Kushas Abaye Acher HaSograyim Shemufnes the Rav Yosef. There's a question that Abaye poses after the bracketed section, which is directed to Rav Yosef. Lama hu bochar es girsas Rav Dimi b'divrei Rebbe b'zman shiyesh girsas Ravin shiacheres. We noted Rav Dimi in a bow tie who presented Rebbe in we underlined Rabbeinu. So Rav Dimi presented Rebbe with a particular version, namely Evikichav Vev Rabba Bas Yisrael the Vlad is a mamzer. So Abaye says why he says to Rav Yosef who appeared in the trapezoid. Here, the inverted trapezoid after the brackets. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, why did you present Rebbe's opinion through the eyes of Rav Dimi when there's another version, namely Ravin's version, that comes out different? And Kibosis Ladarkenu Kan, Besukya Ayin Rashid Ramasul Omerle Abaye. In order to appreciate the markings that we've done here, so you can see Rashi. Toward the end of the narrow lines, the fourth line from the end of the narrow lines, you see that Rashi takes pains to point out that Omer le Abaye, to whom is Abaye addressing his comments? Le Rav Yosef. Now by the time you get down to Abaye in the Gemara text without markings, you're a long way away from Rav Yosef. So just to get a feeling of this, we stated Rav Yosef, Rebbe holding as according to Rav Dimi, that the child is a mamzer. Now we skip the bracketed section in the Gemara text. Let's do this together. Omer le Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, my choses de samchis ad Rav Dimi. What is it that you saw fit to rely on Rav Dimi, who and his girsa of Rebbe, smoch ad Ravin? Why not rely on Ravin's approach, the chioso Ravin Omar? Rabbi Noson, Rabbi Yudah Hanasi, Moirim Bo Lehetera. Rav Nosson and Rav Yudah Nosi, they rule leniently. Uman Rav Yudah Nosi, Rebbe. So that you see that their lenient ruling means that they're ruling that the Vlad, that the offspring is kosher. So the so as we said, Abaye is making a point there that is addressed directly to Rav Yosef with an opposite conclusion. So that here we saw Rav Yudah Hanasi are Morim Bol HaTera, and Uman Rav Yudah Hanasi, Rebbe. Rav Yudah Hanasi and Rebbe are one in the same personality. Let's now go back to the bracketed section that we skipped, having demonstrated the superstructure of our sugya. The last point that we saw, where there was a little diamond number one, namely the ruling given in the name of Rebbe, that the child that resulted from a Gentile or slave impregnating a Jewish woman, the Vlad is Mamzer. Rebbe Shuben Levi Omer Avlad Mekulkol. The word Mekulkol means messed up or ruined. Leman, when you say it's ruined, ruined for whom? Ilemo Lakahol. If you're trying to say that the child is unacceptable to marry into the Jewish people, Ha'omar, Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has been known to say, Ha'vlad kosher. And Rashi points out that this was stated by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi before that the Vlad is kosher. If you use the arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to navigate, you will see, just align this arrow with the arrow before, and you see we read that before. We have a little number three above, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was one of the four opinions that Rabbi Yosef has cited that the Vlad is kosher. Kosher meaning to marry into the Jewish people. So when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi here describes that very same child as Mekuko, we continue in the Gemara, Elo Likahuna, that they, if it's a girl that's born from that union, the girl cannot marry a Kohen. The Kulu, Amoroi, the Machshiri, all the Amoraic opinions that allow the child to marry into the Jewish community, Modu, Shavlad, Pogum, Lukuna, they concede that the offspring is unfit to marry into the Kuna, Mikal V'Chomer, Me Almona, based on Kal V'Chomer logic, using as the starting point the case of the Almona who marries a Kohen Gadol. Now, the house marking is indicated on the side as Litzorech Ma'akav, a device used to keep track of the back and forth reasoning in the Gemara. So what is the logic? The Kal V'Chomer Me'almona, Ma'almona L'Kohen Gadol She'in Yisura Shava Bakol, Bino Pogum. We know that a Kohen Gadol has restrictions upon whom he can marry. And he is not allowed to marry, amongst others, a widow. And let's say he marries a widow, impregnates her. This is an isur that's not shove bakul. It's not applicable in a unified fashion across the boards. It's limited to the Kohen Gadol. And yet, even though it's such a minor type offense in the sense that it's limited to a Kohen Gadol, and yet Bino Pogum, the child is unfit to marry into the Kahuna. Zu, the Oved Kechavim She'isura Shove Bakoil, Gentile marrying Jewish woman is equally across the boards applied prohibition. Eino din shebino pogum, all the more so the child will be rendered unfit to the kuna. Moore says, but you can't use that reasoning. This is a pircha, this is an undoing of that logic. If your starting point was almona, trying to show that it's a lesser type offense and yet the child is pogum, not so. Ma l'almona l'kohen gadol shekein hi atzma mischaleles. The almona has a stringency that you don't find by other violations, and that is that not only is the Vlad pogum, but she also is ruined. So that, let's say, that extra feature is responsible for the child being considered unfit to the kahuna. The Gemara says back, if that is what you think is special to Almona L'Kohen Gadol, that's not true. Hacha nami, kivan shenivala posla. A Jewish, kosher Jewish woman that had relations with a Gentile, that itself ruins her for the kahuna. D'yom Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Shimon, minayin lo v'kichovim ve'evet, habo al ha'kehenes v'al noviyah v'yisraelis. From where do we know that a Gentile man that has intimacy with any type of Jewish woman, whether she's a kohenes, she's from a Kohen family, or from a Levi family, or from a standard Jewish family, shepasluha, that she is rendered unfit henceforth to marry a Kohen. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ubas Kohen Kisia Almona Ugrusha. The Pasuk refers to a Bas Kohen when she becomes a widow or a divorcee. So the Pasuk describes her as going back to her father's house and participating and partaking of truma, of things that Kohanim are entitled to. She's the daughter of a Kohen, and her daughter, her Kohen status is not affected, even though she became a widow or divorced. And we now learn from this Pasuk, Mi Shiyeshlo Almonus V'Gerushin Bo. If her widowhood or her divorcee status comes from someone that is capable of rendering her thusly, then she retains her Kohen or kosher status. Yotsu oyved kechom ve'eved she'ein lohem almonus v'gerushin bo, to the exclusion of those kinds of people, Gentiles and slaves, that don't create the status of almona. An almona is a woman that had been wedded, but there's no matrimonial bond that's formed in the first place with an eved or oyved kechovim. So that if they have relations with her, a slave or a Gentile, so they don't conform to the rules of the Pasuk. So she loses her, we'll say, her Kohen status. And albeit, if it's a function of divorce, so in the case of a Jewish man divorcing the Bas Kohen, that will render her unfit to the kuna on the grounds of being a divorcee. But if she becomes widowed, that wouldn't render her unfit. However, in the case of a woman who had relations, had intimacy with an eved or oyved kechovim, in either way, she, by virtue of the relations themselves, she becomes unfit to the kahuna. So she, the Jewish woman, is no different than the case of the almona, the kohen gadol, in that sense that she now has become unfit or disqualified to the kahuna. So if the last house marking is in the upward position where the point is facing up, so you can see that the logic that was said before still applies. The Kal v'chomer for Almona, and the result of that is that the child is rendered unfit to the kahuna. Omar le Abaye. Abaye goes back to Rav Yosef. He addresses Rav Yosef, who had concluded that the reason for rendering the Vlad Pusel in the case of the Oyved Kichov Ve'eved HaBo'al Bas Yisrael was based on the fact that Rebbe ruled thusly. Omar Le Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, my choses de samfas ad Rav Dimi, what is it that you see fit to rely? The samfas means to rely on Rav Dimi's version of Rebbe. Smoch ad Ravin. Why not rely on Ravin's version of Rebbe? Dechi also Ravin, Omar, when Ravin came, he told us. And before we go further, just note the triangles that appear, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, the triangles represent Meiribo Lehetero, Deus Sheposku, Begoy Habo, Abbas Yisrael, Avlad Kosher. All of these triangles highlight opinions that hold that a Gentile that has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is kosher. Don't make any mistake about it. This is an unfounded and illicit type of relationship. But as far as status of offspring is concerned, the child is nonetheless kosher. Male, Gentile, with Jewish female. So Ravin says that Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yudah Nosi, Morim Bo Lehetera. They rule, Morim is to rule, they rule in a permitted fashion, meaning that the child is kosher. Uman Reb Yudah Nasi. Who is this Reb Yudah Nasi that we dashed underline? Rebbe. It's Rebbe. And here you contrast this with Rav Dimi's version of Rebbe, where the Vlad, according to Rav Dimi's version of Rebbe, was Mamzer. Here, Robin's version of Rebbe is Vlad is Kosher. The Af, and the note that we have a long point marking, the Af Rav, Meire Bo Hetero. Rav also says that the Vlad is Kosher. Dahu, the also the Kame, the Rav, was a case of a child who had been the product of a Gentile having impregnated a Jewish woman, his mother. Omar Lay, the person asked, Oivet Kechavim, Veven Abal Bas Yisrael Mahu, a Gentile that has intimacy with a Jewish woman, what is the status of the child? Omar Lahu, Avlad Kosher. So Rav said, the Vlad is kosher. And in other words, Rav is saying to this fellow, you are kosher. Omar Lay, so the questioner asks, Havli Barteich, so let me marry your daughter. Rav says, Lo Yahiv Noloch, I'm not giving you my daughter in marriage. Omar Simi Barchio L'Rav. So Simi Barchio was an onlooker, witnessed this event, said to Rav, Amri Inshi, people will say, Gamlo B'modai Akavo Rakhto. This is a common saying. People say that a camel in Modai dances on a kav. A kav is a type of measure, a measuring device, like a bowl or that measures a certain amount. In this case, it's a kav. So, continuing in the, just a common saying, Simi Barchio says, well, ha kava, v'ha gamla, v'ha modai. Here, all the ingredients are in place. You've got the kav and the camel and modai. V'loraktan, and there's no dancing. In other words, you're saying to this child, this gentleman, that you are kosher, and yet at the same time, you're not giving your daughter over to her. If you look in Rashi, at the underneath the Gemara text, at the end of the line, the first line of Rashi, ha kava, gamla. For modai yavo v'irakeid, let it come and dance lefaneu in front of us. Klomar atoshi tarto devar chidush, you who were matirs a novel point, ha'ames devorecha, prove your words, v'tein lo bitcha, and give him your daughter. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar lei, so Rav says, I have Yoshua ben Nun lo Yahivno le Barti. If he would be like Yoshua ben Nun, I wouldn't give him my daughter. Omar le, so Simi says back, I have Yoshua ben Nun. If he was like Yoshua ben Nun, Imar lo Yahiv le Achrini Yavi le. If you don't give your daughter to him, someone else will. They'll be only too honored to give their daughter to the likes of Yoshua ben Nun, the great Yoshua, the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hi, but in this case, in you, Imor lo Yohiv le, if you don't give your daughter to this man, who is not like Yoshua ben Nun, Achrini lo Yavi le, no one else will give their daughter to him either. Lo have a ka'azul mikame. This gentleman was recalcitrant. He was not budging. He was insisting on getting Rav's daughter in marriage. Yohiv be'ene v'shochiv. Rav gave him the rabbinic look. That's Yohiv be'ene. He glared upon him and he died. V'af Rav Matona moira bo lehetero. Rav Matona likewise ruled that an eved or oivik kohovan bo abayis Yisrael, the child is kosher. V'af Rav Yehuda Moira Bo Lehetero. Rav Yehuda as well ruled thusly. The Chioso Lekamed Rav Yehuda. When a case like that, when a fellow came who was a product of a Gentile impregnating the Jewish woman, his mother, the case like this would come to Rav Yehuda Omar Lei. So Rav Yehuda would say, and we're talking in the context of his trying to get married, his wanting to get married. Rav Yehuda would say to him, Zil Itmar, go and hide. Means, go to a place where they don't know who you are, they don't know your background, and marry a Jewish girl over there. Because if they would know your background, they won't want to give you their daughter. So you see from the fact that he's giving this counsel, it shows that he is allowed, that Rav Yehuda wouldn't give a piece of advice that would lead to a prohibition, that in principle a Jewish girl is allowed to marry him. It's just the people are a bit reticent, but it's okay. Therefore, you see, he's not a mamzer. Now, we go back to the Gemara text. Rav Yehuda is telling this child the union of a goy, of a Gentile impregnated Jewish woman, go high, meaning go to a place that they don't know who you are, oy, nosif bas minoch, or find a girl that has the same background as you have. V'chi osu l'kamei de Rava, when a case like this would come to Rava, Omar Le, Rava would say, oy, goli, o nosif bas minoch. Goli means go into exile, meaning, once again, a place that they don't know you, they don't know your background, and they'll give you a Jewish girl over there, or marry a girl that has the same background as you do. What we would refer to a Gentile father and Jewish mother. And when we say father, bear in mind, we're referring only in biological terms, but in halachic terms, he's not connected, he's considered a full-fledged Jew, and hence not connected to his Gentile father. Before we continue, we have a topic heading on the side, because as you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. So on the side, we have the nosei, mi shechetzio eved, chetzio ben choren, so someone who is part eved and part slave. Now that situation can arise where a slave was owned by two people, and one of the owners freed his half of the slave, making him a ben chorin. The other half remains owned by the other owner. A ben chorin is a Jew. When we see the term ben chorin, we are saying he is Jewish. So he's half Jewish and half slave. Someone like that, it impregnates Habo Abbas Yisrael, Mahu. He has relations and impregnates a Jewish girl. What is the outcome? The Gemara. Sholchu le b'nei Bei Michsi le Rabo. The people of Bei Michsi, it's the name of a place, they sent to Rabo. Mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. Habo Abbas Yisrael, Mahu. Someone who is a half slave, half free person that impregnates, that has relations with a Jewish girl, what is the din? Omar Lei, Rabo responds, Hashto Eved Kulo Amrinon Kosher, a full-fledged slave that would have relations with a Jewish girl, we say, the offspring is kosher, so Chetzio Mibaya, someone who is only half-slave, do you need to think about that even? In other words, certainly the Vlad is kosher. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises a question. Note the long question marking till the third line from the top of Omid Beis. Rav Yosef says, he says to Rabba, Mora Dishmaitza Monu. Now, if you look at Rashi at the bottom line, Mora Dishmaitza the Omar, who is the one that said, Oyvei Kichavim Vevra Boabas Yisrael Beno Kosher? Who is the one that has said that point? The Gemara here at the top of Omid Beis continues, it's Manu, Revi, Yehuda. It is Revi Yehuda. And we have a little a marking there on the side of the Gemara text, the double star. You can see where that connects to four lines from the bottom of Omer Aleph. It's Revi Yehuda. He said that point that the Vlad is kosher. Oh, Amar Revi Yehuda. But that same Revi Yehuda has been known to say, Mishechetzi Eved V'chetzi Ben Chorin, Habo Abbas Yisrael, Oysi Vlad Ein Lo Takona. That in the case of the half-slave, half-free man that impregnates a Jewish woman, the child has no solution. Now, by saying no solution, as Rashi points out, it's basically saying that it's a mamzer. So, how do we resolve this seeming discrepancy in the opinion of Rav Yehuda? Ki itmar de Rav Yehuda. The Gemara attempts to resolve this. Note the number one. That indicates that later on there's going to be another approach to what we're saying now. That will be indicated by the number 2 written between the lines later on. So the Gemara says, when is it that Rav Yehuda said that the Vlad is a mamzer? Kegoin, the Kaddish Bas Yisrael. Now we squiggle underline the word Kaddish, a very significant word over here. The case where the half slave, half freeman creates a mamzer through his union with a Jewish woman, that is only under the circumstances that he married her, he offered her money in betrothing her. Not a simple act of intimacy in a, we'll call it a znus, one night stand fashion, but rather he married her. The nimsa tzad abdus shaboy mishtamesh be'eshes ish. The result of this is that the side of him that's a slave is having relations with a married woman. The married woman's effect comes as a result of the free half of him marrying her. So intimacy with a married woman, a woman married to someone else, or in this case another entity, that will result in mamzerus. However, one night stand, some fling that a half eved, half free man has with a Jewish woman, that means without kiddushin, the child is kosher. On the side of the, and that is in Rashi, fourth line from the top, kegon de kodesh, mi shechetsu eved v'chetsu ben choren is bas Yisrael, the, we'll call him the half. He married a Jewish woman, v'ahakach bo'alel, and then had intimacy with her. The kegon de kodesh, since a marital bond was formed, havia mikudeshes litzad cherus, she's considered married to the half of him that's free. Avolo litzad avdus, but not to this, the enslaved half. The result of that would be that the half of him that is enslaved is having intimacy with a married woman. And all the cases and all the triangles that we had before where we saw kosher, we saw the Vlad was kosher, we're dealing with an unmarried woman, a pnuya. But when you're dealing with a Jewish woman that is married, afilu b'Yisrael, even if it's a Jew that has intimacy with her, and it's not his wife, havlad mamzer v'kosher kein oved k'chavah v'eved, the child will be illegitimate, and all the more so if you're dealing with a Gentile or a slave. Aval hecho debo oleo below kiddushin kosher, but where the intimacy is with an unwedded, an unmarried Jewish girl or Jewish woman, the child is kosher. And now we continue with a long question. And this long question then will result in a second approach to explaining Rabbi Yehuda. V'ho'amri nahardoi mishmei de Rabbi Yankiv. Has it not been said in the name of Rabbi Yankiv, the divrei ha-poisel, poisel afilu b'fnuya? According to those who consider the child a mamzer, unfit, then that is true even if the woman is a pnuya, is unmarried. The divrei ha-machshir, machshir afilu b'eishes ish. Notice the dashed underlining. Those who are machshir, who say that the Vlad is unaffected, they'll say thusly, even if the slave or the goy has relations with a married woman. Now, we have a little note on the side where we've written Mikan Royim. From here we see, Benigud l'tshuva sheish l'chalik bein hecha b'kodesh l'hecha debo al olel biznus, that in contrast to the answer we gave before to distinguish between a case where he married her or had just a fling with her, Kan Royim she'ein af echad sh'mechalik. Here, no opinion makes that distinction. In other words, we just saw in our Gemara Aleph and Beis, one opinion says that an Eved Kechavim or Eved that has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is unfit even if the Jewish woman is a single girl. And that means under all circumstances the kid is unfit. and according to the opinion that says the child is kosher, under all circumstances the child is kosher, namely even if she is a married woman. Ushneihem, the Gemara continues, Ushneihem lo lomdu elo me'eshes av. Both of these opinions, the Aleph and Beis, learn from the Eishes Av precedent. An Eishes Av is a person's father's wife. It's not his mother, but it's his father's wife. And in the Torah, so of course, having relations with a father's wife is a strictly prohibited relationship. And in that context, the Torah speaks about Mamzerus. So we use Eishes Av as a precedent for understanding Mamzerus. Man de posil, he who renders the child unfit, Sovar, holds as follows. Ma'eshes av, de lo tafsi bo kiddushin haflad mamzer. Just like if a person tries to create a marital bond between himself and his father's wife, there is no tfisas kiddushin. It doesn't take hold. It doesn't materialize. And we know that the child there is a mamzer. Afkol de lo tafsi bo kiddushin havlad mamzer. So to any relationship where there could not be a materializing of a matrimonial status, relationship with such a woman, a man-woman relationship will result in a mamzer. Oman de machshir sovar, the opinion that holds that the child is kosher, even in the case of an eved or a kechovim, a bal bas yisrael that's married, holds again. Learning from eishes av, that's the precedent. Ma eishes av, the lididei lo tafsi bal kiddushin lachrini tafsi bal kiddushin. One's father's wife, assuming that the father is dead or divorced, that lady, though to you it's your father's wife, though to you she's forbidden. But she could be married by any other Jew. She's eligible for marriage, where a marital bond will form with someone else. Maybe not with you, but with anyone else. So someone like that, someone that has those characteristics, where we can say, L'didei lo tafsi bo kiddushin, l'achrini tafsi bo kiddushin, la'afuke, to the exclusion of. Let's, before we go further, the Eishes Av then represents the type of relationship that would cause Mamzerus. La'afuke, to the exclusion of Oved Kechovim Ve'eved, the Lo Tafsi Behu Kiddushin Klau. The Gentile or the slave does not result in materialized matrimony ever. In other words, the concept of a marital bond through kiddushin doesn't exist between any Jew and a Gentile or slave. Elo ki itmar de Rav Yehuda, the explanation of Rav Yehuda before, we have to resolve how is it that Rav Yehuda can say that on the one eved the oivik roma bar bas Yisrael the vlad is kosher, and in the case of the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin that has relations with the Bas Yisrael, you tell me that the Vlad is a Mamzer. How do we resolve that? So Elokit Mad Rav Yehuda, when did Rav Yehuda say that the Vlad is a Mamzer? Kigon Shebo Al Eishes Ish. The Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin had relations with a married woman. Notice the dashed underlining and contrast this with the dashed underlining above. Above we emphasized the slave half of him. Here we're emphasizing the free side of him. So a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin had a fling with a married woman, and notice another marking. We squiggle underline shebo al eishes ish. Above, we scribble on line, the fourth line from the top, the Kaddish. Again, point of contrast. Shebo indicates a fling, a one-night stand, as opposed to formal marriage. So when you have this situation of a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, having a one-night stand with a Jewish married woman, married to someone else, V'nimtza tzadchirus shebo mishtamish beishas ish. The free half of him, which is the Jewish half of him, is having intimacy with a married woman. And of course, that would result in mamzerus. However, if it's a chatzi evet, chatzi ben chorin, having relations with an unwed, single Jewish woman, then the vlad would be kosher. Omar Ravina. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading. Under the nosei, we have written, Din HaVlad, the ruling, the status of the child, the Mikre Shel Eved Oy Akum Habal Bas Yisrael. One, Penuyo. Two, Eishas Ish. We're continuing then the theme that we've been dealing with till now of the half-slave, half-free man having relations with a single Jewish woman or a married Jewish woman. So Rabina, Omar Li, Rav Gaza. Rav Gaza told the story, the following. Iklo Rav Yossi Ba'ovin, La'asrin. Rav Yossi came to our town. V'have uvdok, v'fnuyo, v'ashir. There was an incident with a full-fledged slave that had relations with a single Jewish woman, and he rendered the child kosher. Be'eshesish uposil. A case of a slave having relations with a married Jewish woman, and he rendered the child unfit, a mamzer. Omar Rav Sheshes. Now, you'll notice that we have a little bays. This is in contrast to the aleph that we had above Ravina. Bays. Rav Sheshes says, Lididi Omar li Rav Gaza. Rav Gaza told me, Lo Rav Yossi bar Oven have, Elo Rav Yossi bar Zavida have. First of all, by way of names, the Rav Gaza story, according to Rav Sheshes, is different. It wasn't Rav Yossi bar Oven, but rather it involves Rav Yossi bar Zvida. And that's why we have this dashed underlining, so you can contrast this with the dashed underlining three lines above. And furthermore, for further contrast, the Achshir, Bein Bifnuyo, Bein Be'eshesish. Notice the dot underlining. Pay close attention to the way we've marked this. We've underlined Achshir, not only by a single woman, but also if she is married. Above, we dot underlined the Eishas Ishu Posil, again, a point of contrast. He's Machshir. The case of the Eved, the full-fledged slave, that had relations with a married Jewish woman. The child will be considered kosher. Omerle Rav Acha Brei Derava LeRavina. Iklo Ameimar La'asrin. Ameimar came to our town. The Achshir Bein Befnuyo Bein Be'eshes Ish. Now notice the numbering here. This is number two, following the number one, just two lines above. In other words, they're saying the same thing. They're following in the same trend of thought. The Hilchasa, the Gemara now rules. Oyved Kechavim Ve'eved Habo Abbas Yisrael. A Gentile or slave that has relations with a Jewish woman. Havlad kosher. The child is acceptable. Bein befnuyo, bein be'eshes ish. Whether she's a single Jewish woman or even if she happens to be married to a Jewish man, a married Jewish woman. So in contrast to a Jewish man having intimacy with a married woman, married Jewish woman, there it's clear that the child is a mamzer. Not so, it might say ironically, but not so if it's a goy or an eved that has relations with the married Jewish woman. Rava achshrei l'Rav Mori bar Rochel. Rava ruled as kosher this gentleman, Rav Mori bar Rochel, umanye, and appointed him bepursi de Bovel. Pursi is an office. As an officer, he is appointed over Jewish people, so it's a position of authority. And he appointed him to this position in Bovel. And just a word about Rav Mori bar Rochel. Rochel was the daughter of Shmuel, and she had become impregnated by a goy. So that it's a case of a Oyvid Kechavim Habal Bas Yisrael. Rava says that, even though that's his background, that his father was a Gentile, that is not reason enough to prevent his being appointed to a position of authority. And the Gemara explains, the Afagav, the Omar Mar, even though it has been said, based on the pasuk Soim Tosim Olecho Melech Mikerav Achecha. The pasuk says that you shall appoint a king, and a king is representative of a position of authority. You are not to appoint someone to a position of authority unless he's from amongst your own kind, Mikerav Achecha. And we learn from this, Kol Masima Shata Mesim, all positions that you appoint, Al Yehu Elo Mikerav Achecha, shall not be other than from amongst your midst. Therefore, a standard convert, someone who was a full-fledged Gentile, converted to Judaism, even though he is highly regarded amongst, in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of the Torah, nevertheless, he is not to be appointed to a position of authority. Hai, in the case of Rav Mori Bar Rochel, came unto Imo in Israel, since his mother was Jewish, Mikerev Achecha Karinon Beit. That is sufficient to categorize him as from amongst your brethren. On the side, we have a topic heading, Tevilas Isha Akum, the immersion of a Gentile woman, Lashem Nida, where she immerses herself with the intention of purification after her menstrual period. Vegever Akum, Lashem Keri, or a Gentile man who immerses himself in a mikveh to purify himself from Keri. Keri is tuma, that is a characteristic of men that have a semen release. Nechshav Tvila L'shem Gerus. We're going to see a very interesting idea here, that their immersion is considered the equivalent of an immersion for conversion purposes. Now, for conversion purposes, part of the conversion process involves immersing in a mikvah, a ritual bath. With regard to men, we see that there is need for circumcision as well. Now, as far as the details, how much is really necessary, what's binding and what's not, this will be the subject of the sugya as it unfolds. In this case, we're going to be seeing immersions by these Gentiles, but they have intention to accomplish through their immersion something that's of a uniquely Jewish nature. In the case of the woman, purification from Nidah status, and in the man, purification from Keri status. Now the Gemara. Avdei de Rabbi Chiya bar Ami at bela lahi oivedes kechavim l'shem intisa. The servant of Rabbi Chiya had a Gentile woman immerse with the intention, l'shem intisa literally means for the sake of womanhood, but it means for the sake of purification from nida, and not for the purpose of conversion. Omar Rav Yosef, Yachilno Lachshuri Ba Ubabarta. I could render her and her daughter as kosher. Ba Kid Rav Asi, based on Rav Asi's teaching, the Omar Rav Asi, Mi Lo Tavla Lenidusa. Rav Asi looks at this as a type of immersion with conversion powers to it, because we say, did she not in fact immerse for Nidus purposes? And that itself shows a conversion intent, because that's something only Jewish women do. So if she was immersing for purification for Nidus, that's the equivalent of immersing for something of a Jewish nature, and that's considered conversion. Bibarta, Rav Yosef says, I can machshir the offspring. In this case, we have a slave having relations with this woman after her immersion, producing a daughter, Oyve Kichovim, the Eben Habo Abbas Yisrael, Vlad Kosher, a Gentile or a slave that impregnates a Jewish woman, the child is kosher. So either way, after this servant, this slave of Rav Chiya, immersed the Gentile woman with Nidah purification in mind, so that accomplishes her becoming Jewish and the daughter that results from such a union, such an impregnation, would also be kosher. Hahu dehavu korule bar amyaisa. We have a new marking here, so the note on the side of the Mivneh indicates Shnei Maisim Domim, two similar incidents. So there was an incident that he was called Bar Amyaisa, son of Gentile woman. In other words, the people were claiming that his mother had not immersed in a ritual bath, in a mikveh, for conversion purposes. Amar Ravasi, upon hearing this description of the fellow, said, Milo Tavlo Nidusa, did she not in fact immerse herself for Nidah purification? And that's enough. So that his mother is Jewish as far as we are concerned. Hahu dehavu korule bar amo, there were those that called so-and-so the son of a Gentile man. Omar Rabbi Shimon Levi says, if that's what you're calling him, you're making a mistake. Milo Tova Lekirio, didn't that man, this fellow's father, didn't he immerse himself for Keri purification? And that too is a sign of Jewishness, making the father a Jew. We have to point out something that we have mentioned many times for those of you who are veterans of Gemara markings, that as we learn a Daf Gemara, we in no way intend for anyone to reach practical halachic conclusions. And especially in this sugya of Gerus, which is a very sensitive topic, a very timely topic, one should understand that the Gemara presents a variety of opinions. I hope that became clear in today's shiur. And therefore, any one opinion that you see cannot be assumed to be the final halachic ruling until you actually learn the halachic sources themselves. And the Gemara is simply the basis of that, but not the final word. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading. We have written, Halokech Eved Mino Akum. Someone who purchases a slave from a Gentile. Vekidam Oysa Eved, V'tova L'shem Ben Chorin. And that slave, before you started enslaving him, before you started working with him, he jumped into a mikveh and was toivel with intention of conversion. Kono Atzmo Ben Chorin. That is effective in enabling him to become a free man. So even though you may have paid money to the Gentile for his slave, you are not, at the end of the day, going to be benefiting from a slave. Because he, in the meantime, immersed himself for conversion purposes. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Chamo Bar Gurya. Omar Rav. Halokeach Eved Min Ha'oived Kichovin. Someone who purchased a slave from a Gentile. The Kidam V'Tobal L'Shem Ben Chorin. And he hastened and immersed himself with conversion intent. L'Shem Ben Chorin means for becoming a free man. And free man, in this context, in Gemara, in Halacha, when you see the term Ben Chorin, it means with conversion to Judaism purposes. Kono Atzmo Ben Chorin. This is an effective form of immersion and becomes a free man. My taimo, why is this? The Gemara continues at the top of Mem Vavam Aleph. Oivei Kechavim Gufa Lo Konile. The original owner was an Oivei Kechavim. He, though he owns the slave, he owns him only with respect to his work obligation. He doesn't own him inherently. The word gufa is a word that I find a little hard to translate, but it has to do with a higher level of ownership. That's why I use the term, he doesn't own him inherently. He owns him on a monetary level. And we say that, my dekoni le hu demakni le l'Yisrael. You can't sell to someone any more than you own. So what aspect of the slave did the original Gentile owner sell to the Jew? He sold what he owned in him. So that which he owned, my dekonile, that which he owned in him, he transferred to him. Vekevon dekidam v'tova l'shem ben chorin, and since he hastened to immerse himself for the sake of conversion, af ga'ayin l'shibudei, that releases the slave, that releases the monetary obligation, the shibud. Shibud is a term that indicates monetary, being bound monetarily or being bound financially. So his immersion in the mikveh, his gerus, undoes whatever financial obligation, work obligation that this slave may have had to the Jew. Kidda Rava, based on Rava's principle, or Rava's teaching, Diyama Rava, Hektish Chometz V'Shichur Mafkiin Midei Shibud. Sanctification, if, let us say, an item was set up as a type of collateral, meaning that if the creditor doesn't pay from cash, so he set up his slave or his animal to be the source of collection, and then he, after setting up that the lien on that item, he then sanctifies it. If he does that, then we said before, the creditor here means here in this case, we should be more accurate and say the creditor who, when he seeks to collect the debt from the person who owed the money, will not be able to collect from that item anymore, because the hektish, the sanctification, is mafkia. It undoes the lien. Likewise, chometz, upon the onset of Pesach, if someone had a lien on chometz, it undoes that. It's no longer bound. Rashi explains, if someone had set up his chometz as a source of debt collection to a goy, and it's in the possession of the Jew, and then the Erev Pesach sets in, the Ovid Chovim doesn't collect from that anymore, because it's not considered the debtor's chometz because of the prohibition of chometz. He has to destroy it. And, but more pertinent for our discussion is shichur, as we just described, where the fellow had an obligation to work as a slave, but his shichur, his immersion in the mikveh, his setting free, undoes that. So with that in mind, we understand Rav Chama Bar Guya's ruling that was said in the name of Rav, that if a person buys a slave from a Gentile, and the slave is, let's say, quick-witted, and before he is before possession is taken by the Jewish owner, he jumps into a mikveh, that will undo any obligation, any further obligation that he would have as a slave, because he is no longer that. As a result of the shichur, the freeing, and in case this case, the freeing is the immersion in the mikveh, undoes any further obligations. The sukkah itself continues, but we will be pausing at this point. Next time we pick up with a question on that which we've just said. But this is a convenient pausing point in the context of the Daf Yomi Shiur. Before we sign off, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.